So for the last 6 weeks, we've been working on a sermon series called How to Build a Temple, where we've been looking at Paul's words in the New Testament. He talks about it in 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians. He talks about it in Romans. He talks about it several times about how our bodies are dwelling places, temples for the Holy Spirit. And as we looked at what that looks like and what that involved, we also went back to 1 Chronicles and 2 Chronicles and looked at another temple, a physical temple that Solomon was going to build for the Lord. And we've been back and forth between those two sides, between the Old Testament and the New Testament, between the physical temple and the spiritual temple, to see one really important fact. And I have told you each week that this is the thing I want you to be able to take away from this and from any readings that you're doing in Scripture, that it's the same God in the Old Testament as in the New Testament. It's the same God that calls Solomon to build the temple, that calls us to build the temple of our lives around him. It's the same God that says, I will see it through to completion, as the same God that says, he began a work in you, will see it through to completion. Different times, different eras, different things. We're in a different place now in our lives than we've ever been before. God is unchanging. God has stayed the same. And so as we've been getting into this series, there have been kind of two large sections that we've been working on. The first was that before we get into the building project, we really have to understand the scope of the work that we're about to undertake. And in order to do that, we need to understand the calling, that we've been called to this, to do this job, to do this work. Second, we have to wait until we have the right tools and the right team around us to be able to accomplish the work. We call that the empowerment, and David and Solomon, they had the physical tools, the physical team around them. And we have the church and the spiritual gifts to empower us. But once all of these things are in place, and we've spent the last 6 weeks building that up, but once all of these things are there, we have the calling, we understand we've been called to do the job, we've received the empowerment and understand that we have the equipping needed to accomplish the task, it's time to get to work. It's time to begin the work. And that's what we're going to focus on today. Once you decide to begin the work, it becomes really evident that where you start building, how you start building, and what you start building with really matters. One of the things that Amy and I like to watch on TV, kind of one of those things that we can sit down and just watch one show after another show, are those home improvement shows. Really like those kind of shows where people are either looking for a new home or they're rebuilding an old home. But one thing I know that seems to be in all of those episodes, all of those shows, is that no matter what, location matters, right? They say in real estate, it's location, 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 right? You can find the worst house, but it's just exactly in the place that you want to be. It's the location that matters. It's in the right neighborhood. It's right where we want it. And the people in these shows can see the potential. If I see a house like that and I see a for sale sign, I just keep on driving. But that's not, when you have the eyes to see it, you can see the potential for what this thing can be. And you know, because it's in the right location, once it's fixed up, it's going to be your dream house. It's going to be exactly the thing it could have been and should have been from the beginning. Isn't this just how Jesus is with us? Isn't that just how Jesus looks at us? That he sees us and says, it's not in the perfect shape right now. I mean, what does Paul say? That this is love, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That Jesus sees us and he sees all the brokenness. He sees all the rundown. He sees all the stuff that needs repair. He sees all of the things that are needed in our lives. And he says, yeah, it's not in great shape, but I see the potential. And so what he does is that he calls out to us and he's building and he starts this remodeling project. And what he's building in us is the temple. He's building in us a place of perfecting that continues until we are in heaven with him. And he's trying to build this place that's exactly the place for the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And you know what's great is he wants us to join in that work. He wants us to be a part of it. He doesn't just want to do it. He wants us to be there with him. But it's location, location, location. You know, Jesus talked about that. He talked about a building project to the people himself. And that's kind of what it boiled down to with this building project that he gives as a parable. If you want to look with me, it's in Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. Starts there. It's a story about two kinds of people. And what I want you to hear in this story is not the differences, but the similarities. Because I think the key to this story lies in the fact that almost everything is the same, except for one key difference. Listen to Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. Jesus says, "Everyone who hears my words and obeys them is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. It rained hard, the floods came, the winds blew, and they hit that house, but it didn't fall because it was built on solid rock. But everyone who hears my words and does not obey them is like a foolish man who builds his house on sand. It rained hard, the floods came, and the winds blew, and they hit that house, and it fell with a terrible crash." Now, it's easy to focus on the differences there, but I want you to notice there are two builders, and nothing in the story says anything about the quality of their build. Doesn't say anything about the materials they used. It doesn't say anything that they built different houses. Let's assume that these two builders are both equally talented, that these two builders used exactly the same material and built the same kind of house. What's different about their houses? Location, location, location. Because where they built the house is what mattered. They both built good houses. They both built strong houses, but they built strong houses. One of them built it in a place that could withstand everything, and the other, one that couldn't. Identical houses in a bad location. One in a good, one in a bad location. And what Jesus says is that I'm calling out to everybody, everyone who hears my words. He said, everyone who hears my words has a choice. If they choose not to listen and obey, then they're building their structure. Does he say if you choose not to listen to my words and obey that you won't be able to build anything? No. He just says what you build won't be on any solid kind of foundation. It won't be able to withstand. But it isn't just the location that matters. How you build it and the materials you use matter as well. You know, Psalm 118, verse 22 says that the stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11, Paul builds on this idea. The cornerstone, you know, is the thing that set the trajectory for the whole build. The cornerstone is the thing that enabled the building to have the right kind of a foundation, to set everything into alignment, to be in place. The cornerstone was the first stone of the foundation. It's from the cornerstone that everything else is developed. And so Paul picks up on this. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10, yes, verse 10, he says, using the gift that God gave me, I laid the foundation of the house like an expert builder. Others are building on that foundation, but all people should be careful how they build on it. The foundation that has already been laid is Jesus Christ. And no one can lay down any other foundation. But if people build on that foundation using gold or silver, jewels, wood, grass, or straw, their work will be clearly seen, because the day of judgment will make it visible. That day will appear with fire, and the fire will test everyone's work to show what sort of work it was. If the building that had been put on the foundation still stands, the builder will get a reward. But if the building is burned up, the builder will suffer loss. The builder will be saved, but it will be as one escaping through fire. Do you notice in this story that there's a lot of similarities to Jesus' solid rock story, but there's a big difference between it? See, in the solid rock story, it was about identical houses that were built on different foundations. This is about one foundation, but completely different types of houses. In this one, it's about materials that matter. What did Paul say? All people should be careful how they build on it. Is he talking about building on different foundations? No, because at the end he says, when that day of testing comes, the builder will be saved, but only as one who has escaped through the fire. Good foundation, poor materials, poor building quality. Notice that in both stories, in Jesus' story about the solid rock and in Paul's story about building on a foundation, that both things are subjected to what? Testing. There is nothing that says that if you build your house on the right foundation with the best materials, you will never have any problems. You will never have anything go wrong. Everything will be fine. The expert builder that built his house exactly like Jesus said I should do and built it on the solid rock had what to deal with? The rain, the wind, the storm, everything beat down against that house. The expert builder that Paul's talking about that builds with the best materials on the best foundation has to deal with what? Every fire will test everyone's work. We're not talking here about if you build with everything just right, everything will be fine. We're talking about if you build with everything just right, maybe, just maybe, you'll be able to withstand when the storms of life come, when the challenges hit, when the unexpected happens. You'll be able to withstand. You'll be able to do what Jesus said, which is don't worry about your life. Don't worry about what clothes you wear, where your meal is going to come from. Don't worry about those things. Instead, concentrate on the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Seek that first, and then all the other things will be there. Maybe, just maybe, we'll be able to withstand. So we need both. We need a solid foundation. We need the right location to put it. And we need the right kind of building materials and the quality of workmanship. Be careful, Paul says, how you build in order to accomplish the task that's set in front of us. David knew about this. David understood this centuries before any of this happened. And he wrote about it. Right? Remember what David said to Solomon and to the rest of Israel when he got ready to do the building project in 1 Chronicles 29, he says the work ahead of him is enormous because the temple he's going to build isn't just some kind of other building. It's for the Lord God himself. So it matters. It matters. It's not enough to just have a firm foundation but not build anything that's worthwhile on it. And it's not enough to have a great life, everything built up and going right, that's built on a foundation of humanism and secularism and built on the things that the world says is important, because it won't hold up. David knew this. David understood this. And I want you to listen to how he instructs and how Solomon goes about implementing these things in 2 Chronicles. And you don't have to turn here. I'm just going to be reading verses, just at one verse here and one verse there. In 2 Chronicles chapter 2, verse 1, Solomon now decided that the time had come to build a temple for the Lord and a royal palace for himself. Okay, so he has decided now's the right time. Why wasn't it the right time before? I don't know. You ever felt like you had everything in the right place? Everything was ready to go, but it just wasn't the right time? It's wisdom. And then in chapter 3, verse 1, it begins, "So Solomon began to build the temple of the Lord in Jerusalem on Mount Moriah, where the Lord had appeared to Solomon's father, King David. The temple was built on the threshing floor of Araunah, the Jebusite, the site that David had selected." You know what Mount Moriah was? The site where they built it? This is the mountain where Abraham sacrificed Isaac. This was a significant place. Is this a good location? You bet. And a solid foundation is begun as well. It goes on to say, the construction began in mid-spring during the fourth year of Solomon's reign. And in verse 3, it says, the foundation of the temple was 90 feet long and 30 feet wide. Now, I'm going to run through this real quick because I want you to hear these explanations here. The inner walls of the foyer and the ceilings were overlaid with pure gold. The main room of the temple was paneled with cypress and overlaid with pure gold. The decorated with carvings of palm trees and chains. The walls were decorated with jewels and with pure gold. All the walls, the beams, the doors, the thresholds throughout the temple were overlaid with gold, and figures of cherubims were carved on the walls. The most holy place was 30 feet wide, corresponding to the width of temple, and 30 feet deep. It was overlaid with about 23 tons of pure gold. They used gold nails, and I want you to listen to this, that weighed about 21 ounces each. 16 ounces in a pound, 21 ounces per nail. Do you think the materials they're using here mattered? Do you think there was some careful consideration that went into the quality of the material that they were going to use and the craftsmanship that was going to go into using them? Do you think they were following the same thing that Paul's instructing us to do now in our lives now? Be careful how you build on it. Choose wisely. Quality materials, carefully chosen and carefully applied. That's what Paul's talking about as well. In our spiritual temple, we should be so picky. We should be so choosing about what goes into our lives, about what we're choosing to build onto. You know, we've been doing a Bible study with our kids for the last few weeks and maybe even a month, where we've been talking about the armor of God and purity in our lives. And I love kids' Bible studies because they put such a fine point on it. We tend to dress it up and come up with all kind of caveats as adults, and we try to figure out other ways of thinking and conditioning things. Kids' Bible studies are great because they just say, don't do this and do this. And that's exactly how the Bible's written. And I love that. I love the clarity with which it's written, because what it basically says is there are so many things in your life that want to get in there and confuse and rob and complicate and dirty up and mess up what God wants to do. But God is trying to do a work in you. He's trying to remodel you. He's working as hard as he can in our lives, and he wants us to join in the work by being careful, by being picky, by being selective and choosy about the quality of materials that we're using, about what we're choosing to put into our lives. Because what you put into your body matters, right? You can't just feed your body junk food all day and say, I'm going to be healthy and be ready for whatever I'm asked to do. It's not going to work. And it works the same way in the spiritual realm. You can't just say, well, God's wanting to do this great work in me. I don't really need a quiet time, and I can fill my life with all of these things that are distracting. And maybe that's not the healthiest thing I could be doing, but it's okay. God's calling us higher. Paul's calling us higher. Solomon's saying it matters. What you build with matters. David knew this. He knew it wouldn't be enough. Now, I want you to hear me here, because we're talking about thousands of years before all of this is where we're dealing with now. He knew it would not be enough to have all the right materials, to have the perfect location, to have all the best workers, he knew that would not be enough. After all, what? It's not just another building. It's for the temple of the Lord our God. And in order to complete the work, he was going to have to trust. Solomon was going to have to trust, to rely on and to obey the Lord. If you listen to David's words as he's encouraging him, and he says, be strong and courageous and do the work. Don't be afraid or discouraged by the size of the task. For what? The Lord God, my God, is with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. And then listen to what he says and put it in that context of you can't do it without him. He will see to it that all the work related to the temple of the Lord is finished correctly. Who will see to it? All of those good craftsmen, all of the leaders, all of the foremen, and all the people with the pound and a half nails? No. God is going to see to it that it's done correctly, that it's finished correctly. He who began a good work in you will see it through to completion. So, David gets it, and he needs Solomon to get it, because he's going to hand this over to him. And he realizes it's an enormous task. So before he gives Solomon the plans, I want you to notice, if you've got your Bible in that section, this is in 1 Chronicles chapter 28, verses 11 through 19. It starts off with these words, then David gave the plans for the temple and its surroundings. And then he goes through details of all the plans and everything he's gotten. Before he does that, before he gives him the plans, what's he wanting him to do? To build a physical temple. You know what the last thing he tells him how to do is? To build the physical temple. You know what he starts with? Verse 9. Actually, before that, he starts with what we've been talking about all these weeks. Recognizing the calling, realizing that you are empowered to be able to do this. And then he says these important words in verse 9, get to know the God of your ancestors. Worship him. Serve him with your whole heart. Serve him with a willing mind. So what comes before the plans? What precedes the actual building project? Not a rush to action, but a carefully laid foundation in which God's temple would thrive among his people. And that begins with a solid rock relationship with God. The spiritual foundation preempts, goes before the physical structure. How's this matter in our lives? Before you get to work and get in deep doing what God has called you to do, that began that good work in you, get yourself into a solid relationship with Jesus Christ. Develop it. Work on it. Regular quiet times, practicing prayer, using the spiritual gifts that he's gifted you with, practicing the presence and the peace of God, practicing gratitude and thankfulness for what he's given you, working to build faith each and every day as he calls you to step out. These are the foundational elements. These are the things that focus us on God's Spirit. These are the things that develop that foundation so that when the storms come, when the things happen, when the testing happens, maybe, just maybe, have a chance to stand. If you don't know God, if you hear that word that David invites and says, get to know the God of your ancestry, and you say, I don't know him. I don't really understand who that is. If you're hearing me later in a recording, if you're hearing me live now, that's Jesus calling. He wants you as you are. Listen, you don't have to have your life right, perfect, everything all cleaned up and shined and polished in order to start this journey with Jesus. You don't have to have it already. Why? He has the vision. He sees the potential. He wants you to come as you are. Will you hear his words and obey or ignore? And if you don't know Jesus, I just pray that you would get to know the God of the universe. He wants to know you. If you do know him, just reinforce that with him. Just tell him how much you appreciate and love him, that you recognize that you still have work to be done. And thank him for never stopping that work. That he who began it will see it through to completion. So God, I pray that you would bless your people, fill them with your presence. Holy Spirit, would you do your work in our hearts and in our midst now? Lord, I pray that our hearts would just be strangely warmed by your presence. Thank you, God, for your love for us. Thank you for your people.